So here we are. It's chapter 5, Mishnah Yud Zayin, Mishnah 17. So really, here in this Mishnah, I don't address all the ramifications of this Mishnah, because the Mishnah really wraps up the entire chapter, and there are some gaps in my thesis around this whole thing, as we will see. Amru Olav Alu Rav Reb Levi Yitzchak Mebeditchev, they used to say about Reb Levi Yitzchak Mebeditchev, the Kedushas Levi, Shoytzele Neshama Shur Reb Akiva, that he had the Neshama of Reb Akiva. You know, in the previous Mishnayos, in this chapter, we were talking about how each of the 12 Tanaim, whether it was Reb Akiva, Reb Yishmo Ben Elisha, or Reb Sheva Vasofer, Reb Chutzim Samet Targuman, Reb Shimon Gamliel, all of these, they represented one of the brothers who sold Yosef. So the Tanaim represented the 12 tribes, these 12 great sages of the Mishnah. My thesis is that 12 of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, again, represent those 12 Tanaim, who represent those qualities of the 12 tribes that we described. So they used to say, the other rabbis used to say about Reb Levi Yitzchak Mebeditchev, that he had the neshama of Reb Akiva ben Yosef. And they used to say about Reb Meir Primishlana that he had the neshama of Yosef HaTzadik. And they used to say about Reb Avram Yeshua Heschel of Apter that he had the neshama of Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, who, as we were learning, his Gilgul was Rabbi Tarfon. And Reb Levi Yitzchak of Mebeditchev said about the Holy Yid, Reb Yaakov Yitzchak of Pshischa, that he had the soul of Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, who married two sisters, and he himself, the Yid HaKodesh, the Holy Yid, he married two sisters, his wife died, he married her sister, and Rabbeinu Tam, it was said, had the Neshem of Yaakov, who also married two sisters. The Reb Hashel Zidachoyev, he said about himself that he has the neshama of Reb Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was one of the 12 martyrs. Mitoch Tvirei Mashma Shehu Obeis VaHashvotim VaHatanoim VaAmayruim VaAnshei Hashem Nisgalgru VaTamid VaShem Tov HaKodesh. So we see that over the generations, many of the great souls that appeared in the past reappear. In particular, I want to say that just as they came together in the time of the Tanaim, and it was so obvious to the Roman governor that it was like manifest to him that here's a reincarnation of the 12 tribes of Israel in these great sages, I want to say that among the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov also, these great souls came down again. And as I said, it's my thesis isn't complete here because I don't really have a full list. And if anybody hearing this or reading this has a Kabbalah about other Talmid of Baal Shem Tov and how they correspond to the Tanoim, I would really appreciate feedback. Binarily, Shehem Hashneim Osu B'chinesh V'mishneh Seinah M'sedorim Al Sheish Sheish. So now in our Mishnah, the Mishnah takes these attributes, characteristics, what we called aspects of the Divine, and divides them into two sets of six. And so the Mishnah says, Shnayim lo yazim, Shnayim alitzim, Shnayim elizim, Shnayim noyatzim, takes these 12 and divides them into twos. So the first, Shnayim lo yazim, it's interesting, the word lois, laz, or me am loy eis, the word laz means savage. So two of them are savage. Shnayim alitzim, two of them are happy, they exult. Shnayim alizim, two of them laugh, they're mirthful. Shnayim noyatzim, two of them are thrusting. Shnayim torfim, two of them are predatory or predacious, they tear, trefer. Shnayim tzayodim, and two are trappers or hunters. So we have here six sets of two. And the Mishnah doesn't say what. Now, we could say that it's talking about the 12 letters in this. That's what this chapter has been about. And obviously, anything that deals in 12 in chapter 5 of Sefer Yetzirah must correspond to the 12 simple letters that we've been talking about. And yet, the Mishnah doesn't say what is what, which is which are happy, which are savage, it doesn't say. And what it says is, Osan Kimin Arivo, it made them like, Osan Kimin Merivo, it made them like adversaries. Orchan Kimin Milchomo, he ordered them, set them out, arrayed them like a war. Gamazel Omazel, these opposite these. So, what I want to say is that the attributes we mentioned in the 12 previous Mishnahs, we said that each of the tribes was given a curse. Cursed is the one who puts a stumbling block in the road of somebody who is blind. Cursed is the one who moves the boundaries of his neighbor. Cursed is the one who hits his neighbor in private. Cursed is the one who sleeps with an animal. Cursed is the one who sleeps with his mother-in-law, and so on and so on. And we said that each of them, in fact, represents one of the tribes, and one of the aspects of the divine that manifests in the tribe, but it's kind of extreme. And so it has the potential to mislead and to be used for bad. Right? It seems to me that the Mishnah here is dividing those 12 into sets of two and says that two of those aspects are savage, two are full of laughter, two are a joke, right? Two are happy, two thrust, and so on. Which is which? Again, it's not clear. The Mishnah doesn't say. One of the things that I'd like to do in the future, as I get perhaps more feedback from people, is to look at the Talmid of Hashem Tov and see which of the Talmid of Hashem Tov had these aspects. You know, which was the savage? You know, which was the laughter? I mean, we know there are stories. There are stories, for instance, there's a famous Katrila Rebbe story about Rebbe Lev Yitzchak Berditchev and the Alter Rebbe. They were going to a wedding, and came time to go to the chuppah. So these two Talmid Baal Shem Tov, these two great Hasidic masters, come to the door, and one of them says to the other, "After you," and he says, "No, after you." And they stood there. You know, each one wanted to honor the other. So Rebbe Lev Yitzchak Berditchev said, "You know what? Let's just smash the wall down and just go right through." And the Alter Rebbe said, "No, I'll go first." So, what happened? Actually, I think the Alter Rebbe said, "No, let's squeeze ourselves together and go through together." The Hasidim talk about this, and they talk about, you know, how the two rebbes were really looking at the way Mashiach is going to come. You know, do we have to smash doors down? Do we have to go, you know, like, what is going to be the order? You know, can we just bust through and, you know, like Fukuyama says, it's the end of history, you know? Or the Alter Rebbe said, no, let's do it in an orderly fashion. I want to say that if we understand the Talmid Baal Shem Tov better, we're going to understand this Mishnah better. And we know that the Naftali of Rapshitz, you know, he was the Rebbe. Everything that he said was a joke, it was a laughter, and then only those who were in the know, they really knew what the Rebbe had said, you know. Just because it was said with a joke didn't mean that it wasn't deep. So you could say that Rebbe Levi Yitzchak and another one of the Rebbes represents the savage and the Rapshitz, and another one of the Rebbes represents the laughing, the mirthful. I hope to come back to this. So, if we just look at these words, loyes, we say in Hallel, Betzeis Yisroel miMitzrayim, Beis Yaakov meAm loyes. When the Yidden came out of Egypt, when the house of Jacob came out of a nation, which we usually translate as, they had a savage language. It sounded savage to us, right? So that's the. And that's the root of that word. So to which of the Hebrew letters, of the 12 simple letters, does it apply? The Mishnah again doesn't tell us. Elitzim, We don't find a root to the word exalt, except that Hannah in her tefillah, when she has a baby, it says, "Vatoyme olatz libi b'Hashem," my heart exalts, meaning that she was joyful. Elizim, it says, the noise of the mirthful has ceased. Shovas mesois tav chodal shoin alizim. Shovas mesois tofim, right? Chodal shoin alizim. So the word aliz is mirthful. Or smechim, joyous. Noyatzim, so the word noyatz we use, we found it in Perek Aleph in the 6th Mishnah. It said that the sefirois are no'utz soifam b'tchiloson, the end is thrust into the beginning, and it's actually like the word comes from the word describing a thorn, and the way that a thorn goes into things. And I bring various pesukim here, various verses that prove that that's what na'utz means. It doesn't mean to attach, but rather to insert. Torfim, we find in Pashas Noach that the dove comes back. V'hine alei zayis toraf b'fiho. There's an olive branch, torn, toraf. So that's torfim. And then tzayodim, tzayed, we find by Nimrod, it calls him gibor tzayed. Mishnah 18. And again, just not to leave things hanging, but here really Mishnah 17, I really feel it maybe because it's the Mishnah of Toiv that more will be revealed. So here we have Mishnah 18. It says like this: Sholosh Imois, there are three mothers, and we learned about them. Aleph Memshin. Sheva Kufulois, there are seven doubles, and we learned about them. Beget Kapoiris. Yud Beis Peshutois, and then there are the 12 simple letters. Elu Chuf Beis Oisius. So altogether now, in Sefer Yetzirah, we have examined the 22 letters. Shebohem, with them, or in them, Yosad Ko Hashem Tzvokois, Elikim Chayim, Elikei Yisrael, Keil Shakai, Ram Veniso, Shoichin Ad, Moroim Vekodosh Shemoi. With them founded Shebohem Yosad, and it's again ambiguous. What is being founded here? Is it that God founded everything with the two letters, or, as the Mishnah is saying, Shebohem Yosad Ka Shem Tzvokos and Kim Chaim, that these names of God are formed with these 22 letters, and that really the very first, it's a sort of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps sort of thing, right? We have that phrase, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. So the creation of the world is really the creation of the names of God, and then the names of God are the product of the 22 letters, and the 22 letters are the product of creation. So everything is circular, right? Now we look at these names. First it says, with these 22 letters, Yosat. In the first chapter, we had a very similar phrase, and it says that from the three, from Ruach, Esh, and Mayim, from breath, water, and fire, God, Yosad Mo'oinoi, God founded his palace, his dwelling place. Meaning that God uses the thing that he has created to create other things. Bepu'ulus v'emtzoyes tzivei malo ho'efanim usrofim v'chayes, the Mishnah says that with the fire angels and the living angels and the wheel angels, God founded Mo'oinoi, his palace. V'kambe Mishnah seinu meduba, and here in our Mishnah it uses the same phrase, Sha'alidei ha'kof beis oisius, that using the 22 letters, Yosad HaKadosh Baruch Hu es shmois of HaKadoshim, God founded his own names. V'loishu ho'oisu Hashem, not that God's names are the letters, Elosh mismale mo oisius kedusha v'nikbotzim bo oisius Hashem u'bimiloeim v'tzirufeim kol ritzoinoi ashebohem. What God has done is that each of the names of God that we will be looking at here, each of them represents a desire or an aspect of God's original ratzon ha-pashut. And in order for the world to exist and to continue and to be governed, God has named himself, as we will be seeing. And so, in order for God to name himself, he created the letters. So which comes first, the name of the letter? V'ze pirush ha-gemara Rabbi Yochanan didei oma. There's a gemara in Shabbos, Rabbi Yochanan says, Onoichi, the word Onoichi with which the Ten Commandments begins, I, Onoichi I, doesn't say Ani, which is a simple word, it says Anochi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan used to say that Anochi, the word, and I is a notarikon, it's a kind of shorthand for the phrase Ano Nafshoi Ksivas Yehovis. I myself have written and given, or I myself write and give. God says, God stands on this, on the mountain, speaks to us and says, this is the command. Vayedaber Anoichi, I am writing myself and giving myself. What does it mean? God says, I write myself, I give myself. In one sense, God is saying, you know, by reducing everything to 22 letters and taking of those letters three simple ones for Yud Kei Vav and so on, you know, what am I doing to myself? But I want to give myself to you in a way that you can receive me. So Ano Nafsho Kesovis Yehivas, I give myself, I write myself and give myself to you. That is what Matan Torah means. God says, I'm giving myself. And that's why, you know, for God, the idea that we would walk away with the Torah from Sinai was unbearable. So God says, no, wait a minute. You got to take me with, otherwise, why are we going to take the Torah and leave me behind, you know? I've written myself into the Torah, you got to take me with now. Right? And that is why we spent so long there, and we worshipped the golden calf, and then we built the tabernacle, and so on, and, you know, until by the time we actually walked away from there, we had a Judaism that is recognizable today in all its rituals and prayers and sacrifices and so on. But originally God says, here, these are these tablets of stone in which I've written myself, take them, you know. And we sort of turned around and said, all right, well, let's walk away, thank you. What does he mean, you know, what does God mean when he says, I've written myself, here, take me, you know, what does it mean? Ki inyan Torah shebiksav hi bechinas gevuros. The written Torah, what could be more gevura than that? Shekol sefer parsha v'shura u'mila, every book of the Torah of the five books, every chapter, every line, every word, it's mitzumtzum u'medukta kadeinichay. There's no way you could like figure out how many different kinds of tzimtzumim there are there. Everything is like it's counted down to the last jot and tittle. V'osel lahoisif oiligorim, and you're not allowed to add. You're not allowed to remove. Afil ois achas, even one letter. It's a postal sefer Torah, right? Upirish ano nafshoi kesivus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God says, I have written myself, it's kavyochel as it were, as God made the ultimate symptom of himself, of his glory, and put it into these words on this piece of rock, on this piece of parchment. V'ze pirish shel yisod. And this is really to take yourself and reduce yourself to writing. That's the meaning of Yisod. You know, we say that the Midas Yisod is compared to, you know, usually associated with Yosef, it's usually associated with the male genitals, like, but what does it mean in practice, right? What does it mean? I take myself, I put myself, I take the entire person of who I am, and I try and put it into this piece of flesh that I am, and I try and put it out and squeeze myself, and then squeeze myself into that to produce, what, a new life, a replica of myself and my love and my life and my history and my hopes and you know what, that's another symptom that is very similar to the act of writing, or the act of God putting himself into the Torah, or for that matter God putting himself into his names is a similar process to that of that which we call Midas Yisod, which is the act of sex. And that's why the letters throughout Sefer Yetzirah are called the letters of Yisod, the fundamental, foundational letters. It's not because they're building bricks of words, but because they represent that ultimate symptom of God's self in order to create. Shebechinas Sefiras Yisod, because the meaning of Yisod, he is captus va'agidus kol ha'koyches, it's the gathering and the tying together of all the potentials, koydim yitziyosim el ha'poyel, before they get thrust out into action, el mokem echad, to bring them all together into one place. That is what sexuality is. V'chein isa perik aleph mishnayis chestes yud aleph, and that's what we were learning in the first chapter, in the last mishnayis 8, 9, 10, and 11. Inyan hishtal shelis ha'rotzen ha'poshet, how the simple desire of God becomes the breath, and then the breath from the breath, and then the moisture from the breath, and the heat from the breath, and heat from the water, and so on. Koidim kol haruach, first we said there was the breath which was inside the divine, so to speak, like inside the breast of God, which we call the ruach hakodesh, and in it we find koil ruach v'dibur, we find the voice and the breath and the speech. Then the next level was the ruach meruach, the breath that came from that sacred breath, in which the Mishnah said the 22 letters are carved into that breath, and then came the water from that breath, in which we said that the toihu vavoihu refesh v'tit, chaos and void and clay and mud are carved in those letters, which we said that's the hisgashmus of Arotz Naposh, that's the physicalization, the physical manifestation of the simple desire, whereas the ruach was a spiritual, and the one before that was even higher. And then the fourth level was esh mimayim, fire from water, the heat that comes from the water, and which he said chakukim v'chatzuvim kisei hakoved, that is where the throne of glory is carved, and that's where the ministering angels, and from the three of them, the Mishnah said, from ruach mayim v'esh, from the breath and the water and the fire, Yosad Ma'oinai, God founded his dwelling place. And we said that the word Ma'on is like the two words Mekom Onato, which is the place where God meets. The Ona is where a person meets his wife and conjugates, right? So that is the Makom of God's Ona, Ma'ono. And we said that the word Ma'ono is the gematria of Chet, Chata v'Nislach, sinned and forgave. And that's the secret of the Ona. And God says, Heviu Kaporalai, bring for me a sin offering. Note 46, ka, yud ke. So the first time we find this word ka in the Torah, it says, ozi v'zimros ka, my strength and song is yud ke. Vahili lishua, and he's become my salvation. And then we encountered this phrase in the very first Mishnah, and there we explained that the word Yud Kei, it's really a shortening of Yud He Vav He, right? And the next time we find it is after the war with Amalek. And there it appears that God says, my name is not complete so long as Amalek is still around. So now we understand where this, why this name appears here, Yosad Kar, because Amalek is responsible for the martyrdom of these great sages, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Tavon and Rabbi Chutzpis, and you know, none of these rabbis did anything to deserve the horrible martyrdom that they were. You know, let's put the blame. You know, it's very nice to be midrashic and to say we sold our brother Joseph and so on. You know, and so we suffer. But you know, it's grandiose. The truth is, wicked people do wicked things, and those who have tortured Jews throughout the ages have done so because they're wicked, and not because the Jews in a previous Gilgal did an Avera, right? So Yosad, if we, the very first idea of Yosad here, the Mishnah says, is Yud K, which we associate with the reduction of the moon, and Kiyod Al Kes Ka Melchom El Hashem Ba'amalek, as we find that God refers, and he says there will always be a war between Ka and Amalek, because all you have is Yud K without the Vav He, the name is not complete. And what is it that prevents the name being complete? It's Vav He coming together with the Yud He. That is Amalek. He's always trying to separate God from His love. And we learn in the Pirkei Echolos we mentioned last week, you know, we talk about the 10 martyrs, but you know, there's an entirely different version of the story in the Heichalot literature. It says, Omer b'Shmuel, Oysa ayem chamishi b'Shabbos, it was Thursday, K'shebo Shmuel Kushim Miroimi, when the bad news came from Rome, Loima to say, Tofsume Abire Yisrael, they have captured some of the great sages, nobles. And then, that's in chapter 5, and then it describes their journey into the upper realms and their descent into the Merkava. So it says that Reb Chanina ben Tradion kosher kesem al chusoy. So what happened is that the angels came down and grabbed hold of Emperor Julianus, and Reb Chanina ben Tradion was given his crown, Lupianus, sorry. And Reb Chanina ben Tradion reigned over Rome for 6 months in the shape of Lupianus, the Roman emperor, and he killed 6,000 of the Roman, the senators or whatever, hegemonim, each one 1,000. He kind of culled all the wicked out of the Roman thing. The angels took Lupianus and they put him in the shape of Reb Chanina ben Tradion. And of course the Romans took him and they killed him, and every month they would resurrect him again and in the shape of another one of these sages, and they would kill him again and again and again. And in fact that the 10 sages never actually were martyred. So, you know, the martyrdom of the 10 sages is kind of part of our canon. You know, so how do we read this Heichalot, this Medrash that talks, has a different ending? It's a very interesting idea. You know, that God can change history. You know, we've been reading things like this, and then it turns out like it was something else. Yud K. This is the secret of Yud He. Note 47, Hashem Tzvokos, Yud Kei Vov Kei Tzvokos. So the name Tzadik Beis Aleph Vov Tov Tzvaot, which we could translate as, you know, hosts, but when it comes together as one of the names, then it's one of the 7 names that one may not rub out. You know, Shem Hashem Nimchokim, just like the name Yud Hei Vov Hei, we have to treat the name Tzvokot also as holy. That's the halacha. So this name, Hashem Tzvokos, comes together for the first time in 1 Samuel, and it's Hannah. Hannah says, she swears an oath, and she says, Hashem Tzvokos, if you see my poverty, please, if you can take care of me and give me Zer Anoshim, I promise I will devote my son to the temple, and she gave birth to Shmuel, and she was the first one to refer to God as Hashem Tzvokris. Even though the Bnei Yisrael themselves are called Tzvaot, as it says, was on that very day Yotzu called Tzivos Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim. So the Jewish people are called Tzivot Hashem, like the hosts of God, the army of God. And we talked about this in chapter 1, Mishnah 1. So we said actually in Mishnah 9 of chapter 1, we talked about how the word Tzvaot is like letters coming together. Tzva, a host, like a troop. Ot, of letters. I mean, how do the letters work, right? They're like soldiers, right? You get one soldier on his own, he's very vulnerable, but you get a pack of them together and they're many more times more powerful than just, right? Six soldiers together are more than six times as dangerous as six individuals, right? They're half a platoon, right? I mean, there's no end to the habit. Letters are like that, right? One letter on its own is one thing, but you take six letters, well, you can make hundreds of words with six letters, right? So Tzvaot is like hosts of letters. So, and they're called letters and they're called hosts because they're like, you know, when you line soldiers up, you put them in lines and groups and squares and so on. V'zeh soyda oisios, and this is the secret of the letters. Shekol echad la'atzmei cholosh rofa b'likoyach. Each one on his own is very weak. K'moy chaya boided, like an individual soldier. U'bichudam, when you bring them together, mis'amtzim la'atzmei chaya k'muvan. When you bring them together, then they become powerful. V'chana b'tfiloso, and it was Chana in her prayer, oirer koyach shem zu, she was the one who awakened the power of this name, Hashem Tzvakot. V'nitin la midah b'midah, and so she was given measure for measure. Shmuel Anovi, Shmuel's the prophet, shoyishokel k'moshva'an, he's considered to weigh the equivalent of Moses and Aaron. T'chsev moshva'an b'choyinav Shmuel b'koyrishmoy, as it says, Moshe and Aaron in his priesthood and Shmuel in his calling upon the name. So Moshe and Aaron are like one group and Shmuel is the other. V'isa, we learn in the Gemara Tana says, Omer lefon av Rebbeinu Shalom shkaltoni k'Moshe v'Aaron, you made me weigh as much as Moshe and Aaron? T'chsiv Moshe v'Aaron b'choinu v'Shmuel k'rishmoy? So even Shmuel didn't get it of how great he was. And where did this greatness come from? His mother Chana, she put together Hashem Tzvakot. Elokim Chaim, the living God. We talked about it in the first chapter. And there we said, how can we talk about God as living? How can you say Bichlal? Because we know that living, life is a process that begins, you know, with conception and ends with decay. Is God living? Is God in process? Elavada Chaim Pirish Emtzusu Mishav L'Tachlis HaFokas HaRotzen HaPushet. Life in Sefer Yetzirah means the medium whereby God achieves his purpose and will. That's the way God gets his simple desires met. That is what we call life. Elokei Yisrael. And what does it mean, God of Israel? So we find it that Yaakov says, Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, and he set up an altar there, Vayikra Loikel Elokei Yisrael, and he called him God, God of Israel. You know, it doesn't say Vayikra Kel Elokei Yisrael, he called God, God of Israel. It says he called him God, or as you know in Hebrew you could read it, and God called him, Vayikra Loikel, and God called him Elokei Yisrael. So Elokei Yisrael, when we talk about the God of Israel, what are we really talking about? You know, Israel, of course, as we see there, Elokei Yisrael is Yaakov calling God, God of Israel, meaning his God, right? Because Elokei Yisrael, whenever we talk about Elokei Yisrael, we don't mean the Jewish God. We mean the God of Israel, or the Israel God, which is associated with Jacob. The Chazal Chachamim say, "Dukno shel Yaakov Avinu Chakuka al Kisei Hakovoid." Yaakov's likeness is carved into the throne of glory. You know, in the Gemara in Megillah, there's a most amazing Gemara. It says, "Minayin shekara kodesh bochu li Yaakov el." How do you know that God called Yaakov el? Shenemar, as it is written, "Vayikru loy el, Elohei Yisrael." The God of Israel called him El. I wouldn't have been able to say it. Anybody who would say it would be considered a heretic, right? It's a Gemara. So, you know, what on earth does the Gemara mean? That God calls Yaakov El. V'yesh binyan hazeh soid godol hizkeru oid bebreshis rabbi. This is also mentioned in the Medrash Rabbah. And there it's a slightly different version. It says, Om Aloi, God said to Yaakov, Ato Eloi. Ato Elohei ba'elyonim v'ani Eloha b'tachtoinim. You will be God on high, and I will be God below. You'll be, God says to Jacob, you'll be in charge of the heavens, I'll be in charge of the earth. What does it mean? Again, hinting at the fact that the likeness of Yaakov is carved into the throne of glory. Very interesting. In the Medrash, he goes on to say that the Shekhinah always dwells in Israel. So God says, I will be God below, meaning I will always be in the land of Israel, and you will be God on high, meaning your face will be carved into the throne of glory. Whatever that means, the word Elohei Yisrael has all these meanings in it that if you stop and think about it, you could drown in the thought of it. Kel Shakai. So the name Kel Shakai, we find God appears to Avram and he says to him, Vayera Hashem el Avram, the Torah tells us, Vayomer Elav, God says to Avram, Ani Kel Shakai. I am Kel Shakai, Hishalech lefonai v'hayesomim, walk before me and be whole. And so God gives Avraham the mitzvah of circumcision. The Rebbe Rabbunim says, what does it mean? God says, Ani Kel Shakai. What does it mean? So the Gemara says, Ani hu she'amati la'olam dai. I am the one who said to my world, enough. The word Shaddai means that it's enough. Ani Kel Shaddai. I am the one, the God who said enough. So the Gemara says, "Shehoyo oylem marchiv oylech." The world was just expanding. Ad shigor boya kodesh boch v'amidot. Till God shouted at it, and He said, "Enough!" And the whole heavens stayed where they are, and that's where they are now. Right? Because the classical rabbinic opinion about the expansion of the universe is that it stopped, and that things, there's an equilibrium. Of course, We're not exactly sure whether the world is open or closed, expanding, or what shape it is, but the Chachamim were sure that it had an equilibrium. So the Rebbe Rabbunim said, what does it mean that God said enough? You know, why should God say enough? What's wrong? You know, God's scared it'll get too big for its boots or something. Like, why would God say enough, right? So he says, not that God didn't want it to get any bigger. That was very important in Pshischa, not to believe that God is like mean in any way and doesn't want things to keep on growing. Of course God is happy that it should keep on growing. God said, enough, that the whole point of the creation is that anybody looking at creation should be able to see God. God, the whole of creation is like a mosaic. And if you take the whole of creation and look at it, you see God, right? But you know, if you take a mosaic and you make it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, at some point you can't make out the picture on it anymore. So it has to get big. At what point does it become big enough to see the picture? That's when God said, ah, now it's enough. Shaddai. That's how the Rabbunim understands this Gemara. Kel Shakai, Kel Shaddai, God says enough. The world is big enough now that anybody looking at it can see me. And so it doesn't have to get bigger now in order for me to be seen. It's big enough the way it is now for you to be able to recognize God by looking at the universe. So, Memela, what I'm saying, Kishehik Avram Avinu Mehabriya Elokusoy, as soon as Avraham looks at the world and recognizes God from just looking at the world, then so he sees God standing over him. Because that's what it means to look at the world and see God. It means that, you know, everything in creation is part of a mosaic. What is the picture in the mosaic? It's God. Ram v'nissa, what does it mean, high and exalted? And we find that in the pasuk in Yeshayah. I saw God sitting on a throne, high and exalted. Shoichin ad morim v'kodosh, we say on Shabbos, Shoichin ad morim v'kodosh shmoi, and that also comes from Yeshayah, who dwells forever, his name is holy. Shmoi, ultimately, that's the final part, is that it's all about God's name. I think we'll have to wait, or no, let's learn this final mission, and then next week, in Yitzhak Hashem, we can move on to the next chapter. Psicha leMishnah Yutes, this is the preface to the 19th Mishnah. The Perik Aleph Mishnah Vav, in the first chapter, in the 6th Mishnah, we learned Sha'odain Yochid Hu Vein Sheni Loi, that God is a singular master and has no second. There is no second to him. And in the second chapter, in the preface to the second Mishnah, we learned from the Medrash of Oisus to Rabbi Akiva, Shekal Inin Shmoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafke Meshulash V'Loi Bitzur Acher, that you don't find God in the double, that you'll always find everything in creation is triplicate. Even though the minimum of the plural is two, but that's not how you find it in Sefer Yetzira. If it's not one, it's three. In the story of the creation of the world, you don't find twos, you find in at least three. So I want to explain the Gemara. Rav said to Rav Shimi Bachia that the Goyim, they call God Eloho de Eloho, God of gods. We call God Elokei Hu Elokim, or Elohei Hu Elohim, the God of gods. Because we know, you know, if it's not the one, what is it? We say Hoidu l'Elohehu Elohim ki l'olam chazdoi. And the Targum says l'Elohe Elohayo. You see, we don't accept that there is two. The word Elohim really means many. Why would we have a name? Why would we have a name for one God and have it a multiple name? Right? Doesn't make sense. We say Adonai Hu Adonim. So the Gemara is saying the Goyim, they say Eloho de Eloho, God of God. They think of God as being the supreme God. Right? I agree with you, there's a God, but you know, and there's a, yeah, right, he's got a boss, and yeah. Zeloshin Yochid, that's in the singular. We can't take that, right? For us, if there's plural of gods, it's minimum three. There's no duality, right? There's nothing in the world that's less than three. If it's less than three, it's echad. It's God. Ve'ein sheni lo, and there's, God doesn't have a second, right? So the Mishnah says, Mishnah Yutes, Eidim ne'monim shloishahem, there are three trusted witnesses. Each stands alone, u'me'idin al hakel, and they testify, they bear witness to El, to Aleph Lamed. Ki hu echad ve'ein lo sheni, that God is one and doesn't have a second. Ve'eluhen, and who are these three witnesses? Oilam Shana Nefesh, the world, the year, and the soul. They're trustworthy witnesses. What are the three witnesses that we have here in our Sefer Yetzirah? These are the past, the present, and the future, the three Sefarim that we talked about in the first chapter, Sefer Svar and Sipur. So they are three. Kihu Echad Ve'en Loisheni. As we said in the first chapter, we said She'odoin Yochidhu Ve'en Loisheni. There we said he's a singular master. And here we say he is one. Oilam. Above we talked about in the first Mishnah, and we said that if you have a book and you just hold a book in your hand, it's not really a story, is it? It's just like a bundle of papers you're holding in your hand. It doesn't really become a book, a story, a narrative until you actually read it. So that's the Inyan of Oilam. And then Shono, we said that's the numbers, because numbers are also a kind of story. The thing about number story, I mean, you could take the whole of the universe and reduce it to mathematical formulas, but they're all in the present. They're all in the now. And then finally you have Nefesh. What is it? You have to have a person reading the story. So the narrative, you see, you have a story that's written in a book, and unless it's going to be read, it's not a story. And then you have the act of reading the story. So as soon as you start reading the story, then the next part is in the future. So the story becomes part of the future. So these are the three witnesses, Oilam, Nefesh, and Shana, which are tied in with Sefer Svar and Sipur. We will be looking at them again in the next chapter. This is really an introduction to the next chapter.